Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas Driver's Responsibility Program is once again under fire. The surcharge fine that many Texans are ordered to pay when they get too many traffic tickets or caught with a DWI or driving with no insurance has been called unconstitutional or too severe for working class families to pay. As a result, there's a growing number of people driving on Texas roads with invalid driver's licenses and without insurance. Have you been ordered to pay the Driver's License Responsibility Program surcharge? And how did that work out for you? Was it a hardship? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And joining us to discuss the Texas DRL, Ana Yanez Correa. She is the executive director of the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition. And Scott Henson, he's the writer of the widely read blog, Grits for Breakfast, which covers Texas law and public policy. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you for having us.
So, Ana, tell me what's wrong with the Texas DRL.
Everything.
I knew you were going to say that.
Its existence, the fact that it has decreased driver responsibility, the fact that it has increased millions of drivers without a license, the fact that it is punishing a class of Texans that has already gone through the system by already paying their tickets. This driver responsibility program was created to, quote-unquote, increase public safety on the roads. And let me tell you, it has done the opposite. Scott Henson can speak more to that. But we find it that this program is one of the most programmatic, problematic pieces of legislation that the legislature has passed.
So, Scott,
it's a really horrible program.
So Ana says you can tell us more about how this is not helping drivers' responsibility. Tell us about that.
Well, that's definitely the case. The driver responsibility program the surcharge has been assessed on around 10 million people over the last decade. About 2 million of those have lost their driver's license as a result of the surcharge. And about 1.3 million of those still, to this day, have no driver's license as a result. So rather than encourage people to have a driver's license, to get insurance, we've been taking away people's driver's license. And if you have no driver's license, you can't get insurance. And so we're worsening the problems that the surcharge was designed to solve. The main obstacle to eliminating the surcharge is that half the money, or really quite a bit less than half, but in theory half the money, it goes to subsidized trauma hospitals. But the legislature has not been giving them all of that money. They've been diverting quite a bit of it to balance the budget. And the truth is we need to find better, more sustainable ways to subsidize trauma hospitals than this broken program that's failing to achieve the public safety goals that ostensibly underlie it.
Okay, our phone lines are open. If you've been ordered to pay this driver's license, driver's responsibility program surcharge, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Frank has called in. Frank, you're on the air. Go ahead.
No, mine is on the surcharge. How do you know how many you have to pay? They never tell you. You go in, you pay the month, you pay on the installments, you think you're about ready to get your license, and then another surcharge pops up, and you're like, who do you question? You call them up, you pay again. They say, no, before you get your license, you need to pay this surcharge again. You start, and then another one pops up. I have finished paying it, and I've been trying to get my license, but then when you go to get your license and you go to the driver's license at DPS, they say, no, you're not eligible because you still have a surcharge outstanding.
Right.
So my question is, how many you paid?
Okay, Frank, we'll try and figure that out. Yeah, I've heard this complaint before. It's been described as a Kafka-esque nightmare. So, Ana, response?
Well, that's my response, is that it's a nightmare, and the bureaucracy does not make it any easier for people. I mean, this is one of the programs where we heard the most complaints about, from practitioners and judges and members of the public and attorneys. Even prosecutors hate this program. It's got to go.
Well, then it sounds like it's something that could be fixed. I mean, I've heard this problem before, that people are don't even know that they were supposed to pay it, and then they get pulled over. They don't even realize that their license had been rendered invalid, and then they get even a double hit with the driver's responsibility surcharge fee. And by the time it's over, it's $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 that they owe the state, but they don't even know when they're free and clear. So, I mean, but that could be fixed if it's, and maybe that's repairable. Scott?
I think probably not. And here's what you have to understand about the surcharge. The surcharge is a civil fee that's assessed on top of your criminal penalties. So when you get a traffic ticket for not having insurance, that is a crime under the law. You are written a ticket, and you go to the criminal court system to pay that ticket, and there's a fine that they assess under the criminal statutes. The surcharge is an additional civil fee on that you pay for 3 years after you pay your criminal ticket. We're one of only two states that has this type of program. The other is New Jersey, that we copied our program from. And New Jersey has even lower collection rates than we do. We collect around 60% of the, or 40% of the surcharges that are assessed. About 60% go uncollected. In New Jersey, it's even lower. And so people are basically not understanding, and it's, I get it. I understand why. When you get the ticket, you pay your ticket at the municipal court, you think you're done with it.
Sure.
You think, okay, great, I've taken care of that. And then people get a letter in the mail. Until very recently, the letter actually came from New York, so people didn't even understand it was a state of Texas issue. And so people get a letter in the mail, you know, weeks or a couple of months later, that says you owe this surcharge. Well, they may not even associate that in their minds with the ticket, much less understand that they're going to have to pay this not once, but annually for 3 years. The public doesn't understand it. We have more people moving to Texas from other states every day. That's where a lot of our population growth is coming from.
Well, there are a lot of people who are born and bred in Texas. Many people who are from Texas don't even know that this exists.
That's exactly right.
Until they become victims of it.
Go ahead, Anna.
Until they become victims of it. I mean, I have to tell you, we are asking for people who have become victims of this program, okay, which is a program meant to generate revenue at the backs of Texans, okay? And we are asking people to join us, to come with us, to help us get rid of this program. Their stories need to be told. People need to understand that there's a better way of funding trauma hospitals, and that it cannot be at the expense of millions of Texans that are suffering daily because of this program.
Okay.
And the Texas legislature put us here, and the Texas legislature needs to get us out of there by funding trauma in a different way.
Sure. Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about the Texas Responsibility Drivers Program, assessing a surcharge on Texans who get too many traffic tickets or caught DWI or no insurance. We want to hear your stories. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. There is a push in Austin to either do away or repair the system. We'll talk about amnesty or indigent help in just a moment when we come back from this break. This is The Source on KSTX. Listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Driver's Responsibility Program, created in 2003, requires traffic violators to pay an annual surcharge for repeated traffic violations such as driving without insurance or driving while intoxicated or speeding. Drivers aren't automatically levied surcharges for minor tickets like speeding or collisions, but a point system punishes repeat offenders. If a driver accrues 6 points in 3 years, that surcharge is assessed, and failure to pay results in a suspended driver's license. But it's more complicated than that. Our guests say this is a program that is broken, needs to be fixed or done away with. Ana Yanez Correa, she is the executive director of the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition. Scott Henson, he's a writer for the widely read blog Grits for Breakfast, covering Texas law and public policy. Our phone number is 614 614- 614-898-8980, 614-898-0. And we've got some callers. We want to get them on the air. Mario was called in. Mario, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Mario. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Thank you. I just want to say, has anybody already filed suit, or have we got with the ACLU or a group of lawyers? Because this looks like, gosh, at least fourth and fifth amendment violations to me. I mean, you've already pleaded in a court one way or another, and now you're being double charged again. And to say the very least, 3 years, that's excessive. I mean, the driver's education class has a one-year, defensive driving class has a one-year limitation. You can take it once a year and get the ticket off. But for them to go with a three-year deal, that is just absolutely absurd.
Okay, Mario, thanks for that call. So, Anna, I mean, he says this is double jeopardy, and I wonder about the legislature becoming judge jury on this also.
Yeah, Mario, I agree with you. It is double jeopardy, and I do believe that there has to be some type of legal action against what is happening to millions of Texans who have already paid, like Scott, you know, explained, through the courts, and then all of a sudden is being taxed, you know, for three consecutive years for something that they've already paid. So I am on board, buddy. I agree with you.
Okay, let's get Josh on the air. He's called in. Josh, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was calling because I've been getting surcharged now, and I haven't received a ticket in over 8 years. And then a couple years ago, I started getting these surcharges, and I get a letter like every, I want to say like February and August, about a new $260 surcharge. And I've already had problems with my insurance twice because they reported that I don't have a driver's license anymore, so then my insurance gets terminated, and then I just end up having to pay double for insurance.
And do you know how much you owe?
I think after this last one they sent me, they said that I think it said one more after the last one that they just sent me.
That's a lot of uncertainty for something that is essential as being able to drive, and then if you want to drive responsibly, I would say that would be nerve-wracking.
Exactly. Yes.
All right, Josh.
And it's a deprivation of liberty. One of our judges, Judge Edna Stout, who's a champion from Williamson County, explained to the members of the legislature that this is depriving of a person's liberty to go from one place to another. And you know, they make it really hard on people. They make it really hard on Texans right now, and that's what we're asking everybody to come out, tell their story, you know, come to us, join us to get rid of this program.
Okay, got Brett calling in. Let's get him on the air. Brett, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Doing good. Go ahead.
I used to train bus drivers for a local school district in San Antonio, and every year, twice a year, we were required to do background check, or, you know, driver's license checks in order to make sure the drivers are still certified. And every time we did these checks, we would have to fire somebody because their license was suspended. They had no clue that this fee had been levied against them, and the, you know, their livelihoods taken right out from underneath them, and they didn't even know it existed.
I mean, it seems incredible. The person, Brett, thank you so much for your call and giving us that story, because the idea that people can be driving a school bus and with a suspended driver's license is scary. Okay, and
scary on the one hand.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
It's scary on one hand, but on the other, it's not as though that person is actually necessarily a threat because of that. They really didn't understand that surcharge had to be paid. The fact that you didn't pay doesn't make them more of a threat on the road. And that's one of the reasons that we say that it's reducing public safety, reducing the number of licensed drivers, the number of insured drivers, unnecessarily. If those bus drivers paid a ticket and didn't understand they had this surcharge, and then a couple of months later a letter comes from New York, they don't understand what it is, they ignore it, and look up and have a suspended driver's license, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're an unsafe bus driver. It means they got a ticket and didn't understand this complex and absurd law.
Sure, but if they were driving with the no driver's license, not even knowing it, and if they did have some sort of incident, it would be bad for the school district in terms of liability and things and covering those students.
That's exactly right. That's another example of how it's making the roads less safe, not more safe.
So let me ask you about, I saw on the website for the state that talks about the driver's responsibility program, they talk about indigent help, that if you are below the poverty line at some level, that you can be freed of this fine. So, Anna, how does that work?
Oh, don't even get me started on this. Let me tell you, they make it so hard for people to apply to this, okay? It is not easy, and I've had many people who, I have a probation officer, Vicky Pinkston, a probation director who, you know, is constantly trying to help her probationers who are on probation because of this driver responsibility program, trying to get them amnesty, and it is almost impossible for them to do it. Scott, I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I have to say I was one of the folks who worked pretty hard to get that indigence program installed, and I agree. I wish it were easier to apply for. It's also the case that the income threshold is so low on it that really there are a lot of working people who still have trouble paying those surcharges who just aren't eligible because their income is too high.
It's too high, but they're still working class people, but their income is too high because this threshold is so low.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. Again, there's about 1.3 million people without driver's licenses because of the surcharge. About 35,000 have taken advantage of the indigence program. And, you know, that's great. I'm happy that it has helped 35,000 people. That's better than nothing, but it's still not nearly enough. They need to do a lot more.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring in John Hawkins in the conversation. He's with the Texas Hospital Association, and he can address the issue of the funds that this program does raise going towards trauma care in the state. John, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So how much of a pinch would it be for hospitals in Texas if this program went away?
Well, unfortunately, we're actually reporting over $200 million in uncompensated trauma care to the state. That being said, the legislature is only appropriating about $50 or $60 million a year to hospitals to actually cover that cost, and that's at a time when the program is actually raising about $120 million. So, you know, at a minimum, it would be between $50 and $60 million a hit to us on uncompensated trauma care.
How was trauma care funded before the 2003 when this program was put in place?
Well, basically, it was just it was not funded, and so the trauma portion just became just went into the bucket of uncompensated care. And right now, hospitals are reporting about $5.8 billion a year in uncompensated care, notwithstanding just the trauma piece. And so really it was an attempt to defray some of those costs, but it was also an attempt to build up infrastructure. We've actually had 77 more hospitals become designated trauma centers through the resources from this program, and so that actually helps communities that didn't have that capability before.
So we're hearing that 40% of the people who get assessed this fine are not paying it. Would you be supportive of trying to fix this program and making it so that you could get a higher percentage of people paying it, reduce fines, and maybe have better administration?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we testified this week, and I think we've been consistent in saying, you know, we ought to look at ways to make this program actually work. And, you know, number one, we ought to fairly target the folks that you know are ostensibly causing some of these issues, but do it in a way that you know certainly doesn't preclude them from making a living or deals with other issues. So I think, you know, we've made some attempts to deal with to give a little bit more flexibility in the program. I think, you know, we're ultimately constrained by the statute, and I think, you know, that's what the hearing pointed out a couple days ago.
And statutes can be fixed. I got my numbers switched. It's 60% that aren't paying these fees, and that's incredible. And so we see legislation failed in the last session to try and do away or fix this program. So we have another session coming up, not soon. But is there hope, John, to make these changes?
I think so, and I think that's what Chair Pickett kind of challenged the groups to do earlier this week is come together and look for ways to raise this money, but do so in a way that makes sense administratively. And I think what's failed us in the past is not having a good replacement in place when we've looked at these pieces of legislation. And if we can actually go into next session with a good replacement strategy in place, I think it'll serve everybody better.
John Hawkins, Texas Hospital Association, thanks for calling in and giving us that update. Anna Yanez Correa with the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition, and Scott Henson, he's a writer for the widely read blog Grits for Breakfast, which covers Texas law and public policy. Thank you for informing us of this troubled situation with the Driver's Responsibility Program. I'm David Martin Davies. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.